Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's the 18th of March 2019. I hope you are all keeping well and that you've had a great weekend. So on today's show, we are going to talk about stress management and how we can identify stress and we can help ourselves to manage the stress that we feel. We're also going to talk about type 2 diabetes and the link with dementia and in particular Alzheimer's. And we'll kick off the show with that in a couple of minutes. And we also have a special guest on the show this morning. We have Susie Brooks, and Susie is an NLP master, an NLP coach and a hypnotherapist. Good morning, Susie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well today. Thank you, Neil.
It's great to have you on the show. And we'll be finding out more about what Susie does in about 20 minutes or so. So a quick disclaimer before we start. The purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered, and to help educate and inform you in ways that you might be able to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice, and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist first. All the content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my opinion, and my experience. And I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the show. So, dementia and diabetes. Excuse me. So, we talk about dementia a lot in today's society. And we talk about diabetes, and it's quite surprising how few people really understand what both of these are. So when we talk about dementia, there are many, many different types of dementia, and the common one that most people will hear about is Alzheimer's. Now, Alzheimer's affects around 60% of those people that do suffer with dementia. I live with dementia, and vascular dementia is around 20%. Basically, dementia is an umbrella of different brain disorders that trigger a loss of brain function. Now, these conditions are normally progressive. They are eventually severe, and in many cases, it's a terminal condition. Certainly, at this moment in time, dementia is definitely a terminal condition. There is no known cure. So some symptoms of dementia include things like memory loss, confusion, and problems of speech, understanding. It can destroy a person's memory, their ability to learn, their reason, their ability to make judgments, their ability to communicate, and basically carry out many day-to-day activities that we take for granted. And also, as Alzheimer's progresses, so Alzheimer's is a slow progression. People that live with Alzheimer's will have a change in personality, often a change in behaviour. They will struggle with things like anxiety, suspiciousness, agitation, delusions. They'll lose their memory. So it's quite a serious condition, and it's afflicting more and more over 65s as time progresses. And there's been some really interesting research that has shown that people with type 2 diabetes are at an even greater risk for developing Alzheimer's as time progresses. In fact, one research study put that risk at around between 50% and 150% increased risk compared to the general population for those people that do have type 2 and may develop Alzheimer's as they get older. And some studies have predicted that by the year 2050, there will be around 115 million people in the world that live with some form of dementia. So those of you who know me know that I'm a type 2 diabetes specialist, but let's go over just very briefly what type 2 diabetes is. So around 4 million people in the UK have type 2 diabetes. In the world, there's between 400 and 500 million people with type 2 diabetes. And essentially, it's a disease that makes the body less able to convert sugar into energy. And in the UK, they think that there's around anything between 600,000 and a million people, in addition to that 4 million that are diagnosed, anything up to a million people that I do actually have type 2 right now, but don't actually know they've got type 2. And they don't know because the symptoms haven't become manifest, because type 2 can take up to 10 years to become manifest. And then by the time the body is, you know, the body has these systems in place, by the time that these systems kick into place, for example, losing excess glucose through urine, diabetes or type 2 diabetes has normally been going for quite a long time, anything up to about 10 years. The scary thing is that it's estimated that there's around 7 million people in the UK that have pre-diabetes. So this is kind of the no man's land between having full-blown type 2 and having normal blood sugar. It's that bit in the middle where you're not quite type 2 diabetic, you're not yet in the diabetic range, but your blood sugars are higher than normal, 7 million people. So potentially in this country, there could be around 10 million people or more that will be living with type 2 in the very near future. So as I mentioned, type 2 diabetes, of the diabetes spectrum, around 10% of people have type 1 and around 90% have type 2. And type 2 diabetes is linked to a lack of exercise and being overweight. Now, when type 2 diabetes is not controlled, too much blood sugar remains in the blood, too much glucose is in the blood. And over time, this can damage the organs and it can damage the brain. And this is where scientists have looked at this link between type 2 diabetes, sustained high blood glucose levels, and dementia, in particular Alzheimer's, because it is the most common form of dementia. So based on a number of epidemiological studies, it was recently thought that Alzheimer's, or AD as it's commonly known, Alzheimer's could be considered as type 3 diabetes, because of the link between type 2 and Alzheimer's, or the development of Alzheimer's as people get older. So if you get high blood sugars, it's really an early warning sign. When you've got high blood sugars, it could also be a sign of insulin resistance. And we'll touch on insulin resistance and dementia in a moment. But basically, this is when the body becomes unresponsive to insulin. And insulin is a hormone secreted by the beta cells of the pancreas that helps the blood sugar move into cells and then the cells to use that glucose for energy. Basically, it doesn't move into the cells as efficiently as it could do. And then you have a cascade of effects, which obviously, you know, high blood sugar is the big one. So what happens is the body makes more insulin to deal with the fact that insulin is not being dealt with efficiently by the body cells. And because the cells become starved of energy, so the body produces more insulin, then the body becomes more immune to that insulin, then eventually the body will produce all the insulin it possibly can, and then you have full-blown insulin resistance, and then the blood sugars start to rise, and then type 2 diabetes develops from there. And the thing is, as I mentioned, that type 2 diabetes does a huge amount of damage. It can do damage to the nerves, it can do damage to the eyes, it can do damage particularly to the kidneys. And there is no reason to suggest that the brain would be immune from this damage that's caused by sustained high blood sugar levels and sustained high levels of insulin. Now, doctors can quite easily do a blood glucose check. It takes a few seconds. But they don't often measure insulin levels because insulin level testing is quite complicated and actually quite expensive. So some signs of potential insulin resistance would be being overweight. So if you are overweight or obese, if you've got a big waist, if you've got a big waistline, that can be indicative of high levels of visceral fat. So visceral fat is fat around the organs, which is potentially quite damaging to the body. So if you've got a waistline of around 40 inches or more for a man or 35 inches or more for a woman, that can be indicative of high levels of fat around the organs. If you've got high blood pressure, so anything above 130 over 85 or 140 over 90, so if you're hypertensive, that can be indicative of insulin resistance. And also, if you've got low levels of good cholesterol, or the cholesterol balance is out of kilter, that can be a sign of insulin resistance as well. So what is this Alzheimer's to diabetes link? Well, research is ongoing, okay, because they don't really know what causes Alzheimer's and how it starts and how it develops. And they're trying to piece together how it develops and obviously this link to type 2 diabetes. But what they have proven without doubt is that high blood sugar and high and or high insulin levels can harm the brain in a number of different ways. The first of these ways is it actually raises type 2 diabetes, raises the risk of heart disease and stroke. And in turn, when you've got heart disease or you have a stroke, this damages, this hurts the heart, and it also hurts the blood vessels as well. And damaged blood vessels in the brain are a known contributor to the development of dementia and of Alzheimer's disease. The brain depends on many different chemicals. There is this thing called the blood-brain barrier, and the brain is very protective. It's a shield, but certain chemicals do pass through the blood-brain barrier. And this can become unbalanced by too much insulin. And this unbalance of hormones and chemicals could help trigger Alzheimer's disease as we get older. And also high blood sugar causes inflammation, and inflammation damages many, many systems of the body, and inflammation can damage brain cells, and that can lead to the development of Alzheimer's as time progresses. So how do you reduce the risk of diabetes? Well, prevention is better than cure, but even if you are a diabetic and you manage to reverse your diabetes or manage it properly and reduce your blood sugars, or even if you're not a diabetic and you manage to prevent it ever happening, that's no guarantee that you won't develop dementia as time progresses. But this link between type 2 diabetes and dementia is so tenable that by reducing down blood glucose levels, reducing down the constant secretion of insulin, you do potentially reduce the risk of developing Alzheimer's and dementia as you get older. Simple lifestyle changes can help. So eating a healthy diet, staying away from simple sugars, sugary snacks, reducing down the amount of processed foods that you eat, and eating whole foods as nature intended them is a good thing. Exercising around 30 minutes, 5 days a week can really help. And losing weight if you're overweight and keeping it off permanently. So what that means is no yo-yo diets, no fad diets, no quick fixes. Learn how to eat proper food. Be accountable for what you eat. Learn to understand how that might affect your blood sugars and make it a long-term project to keep your weight off. Don't jump on the yo-yo diet bandwagon, because that potentially can be more damaging to the body. Have annual health checks as you get to a certain age. I'm sure some of you out there will appreciate this. As you get to a certain age, the doctors will send you letters for regular health checks, and most people ignore them. Well, the next time it comes through, don't ignore them, okay? Go and have your annual or your biannual health check with your doctor. As I mentioned, type 2 can go undiagnosed for up to 10 years. But there's three conditions that go undiagnosed for a long time because there's no symptoms. The first of these is high blood glucose, so obviously leading on to type 2 diabetes. The second is high blood pressure, and the third is high cholesterol. So your body will deal with these internally for a long time before you get symptoms. And by the time you get symptoms, you're normally in some trouble. So have that regular health check every year or two, just to make sure that if these things are developing, you can nip them in the bud. And if you have type 2 already, then treating it effectively, naturally, changing your diet, changing your lifestyle, that can also help to reduce the risk of other complications, including dementia, as you get older. So if you'd like any advice about any of this, or you'd like to talk about type 2 diabetes, then do feel free to contact me via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And you can also contact me via the show's Facebook page as well. So hopefully you found that interesting. It's a really detailed subject, dementia and diabetes. Can't really do it justice in 12 minutes, but hopefully that's given you an idea and perhaps made you think more about this link between dementia and diabetes, and hopefully will lead you on to do your own research. So after the break, we are going to go on to our guest interview with Susie. But before then, we have a quick song by U2, and it's Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses?
You're dangerous, 'cause you're honest.
That was U2 and Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses from 1991. I can't believe it's so long ago. What a great song. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 18th of March. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, you can search the Health Matters Radio Show and find the show's Facebook page, and please like it and follow it. You can listen again to this show and all previous 54 shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And also, if you like iTunes and podcasts and that sort of thing, you can go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show, and all the previous shows are available for you to download via your Apple device. I have a quick shout out for Victoria Sheridan. Hi, Victoria. Victoria came on my show a few weeks ago now, and Victoria runs an organisation called the BizBars Network, and they have regular networking events at the Red Libbits Golf and Country Club in Ash. I think it's the second Wednesday of each month. You can contact Victoria for more details. But the golf club is promoting Mother's Day lunches. So they've recently spent lots of money having a huge refurbishment. The refurbishment is now finished, and they are taking bookings for Mother's Day lunches on the 31st of March. Just as a quick reminder to all of you that have forgotten about Mother's Day. And if you'd like to book your lunch on Mother's Day, the phone number for the Golf and Country Club is 01474 879 190, and the golf club is in Ash in Kent, which is not that far from Longfield. So that's the Red Libbits Golf Club, Mother's Day, 31st of March, 01474 879 190. So on to our guest interview of the morning. We have with us today Susie Brooks, and Susie is an NLP master, an NLP coach, and a hypnotherapist. And we're going to find out more about Susie's journey and how she got into doing what she's doing now, and how she helps people, and her exciting plans for the future. So good morning, Susie. How are you?
Good morning, Neil. I'm really good today.
It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And looking forward to finding out more about your journey. So let's start at the beginning. What's your background? How did you get into NLP and hypnotherapy?
NLP was something that I'd been aware of in the sort of background of my life, because I started off in publishing and media, right. And being on the sales side, hadn't realised at the time, age 17 back in 19, that a lot of the techniques that I was employing were actually NLP techniques, which is where sadly NLP does get a reputation sometimes for being a little bit manipulative. However, sometimes with the unconscious, we need to take control, as we know. Mm-hmm. So that's my background. I've also run a business doing costume designer jewellery for a company called Cabochon, and was in one of the top 30 distributors. I got made redundant at one point and was one of the first female taxi drivers in Maidstone, which is something I'm quite proud of, actually. Yeah. It was an interesting challenge. Nobody would give me a job because I was overqualified, because I'd run a business. Yeah, and yeah. I wasn't prepared to go on the dole, and saw an advert saying, can you drive? I thought, yes, I can. So that's what I went off and did. Met some very interesting people doing that, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And from there, I ended up being involved in internet security, which is a small company, or SecPay, which was launched again in the 1990s. And I was trying to talk to people about online shopping and secure transactions before anybody even had a computer.
Yeah, I was saying, back then, I mean, online shopping, Amazon probably wasn't even thought of.
What online shopping? I know. So seeing it grow and develop over the years has been very interesting. Mm. But while I was doing that, in the year 2000, I met and married, well, not in the same year, obviously, but I met a lovely man called Tim, who's my husband. Yep. He's a hairdresser. And we got pregnant with our daughter, and as a result of that, decided that we would pursue his career more than mine, because I wanted to be a full-time mum. Right. And so we set up a salon in Lewes called Cut Loose. From there, we then opened a hairdresser's in Cranbrook called CL2, which we both still own and run. Tim still does the hairdressing, and I still run the engine room, as it were. And I'm still a full-time mum to our children, which is kind of how I got into what I'm doing now.
Okay.
It wasn't ever intended, but very sadly, our daughter, beautiful daughter, started suffering from depression. And I was sitting in the kitchen one day, and she sent me a text message. I was sitting opposite her, and the text message talked about how she was feeling. And that was at 5:30 in the afternoon.
Mm.
By 9:30 the following morning, I had an appointment at our GP. And I felt very passionately, as some people, I know this is an awful thing to say, but if you really want something badly enough, you can get it.
Yeah,
and we
yeah.
were in there the following morning. And I spent the next few weeks, months, years working with her and with our GP, then GP, who one day called me into her room and said, "Susie, I'd like you to do something for me." Okay, what? It's not every day your GP asks you to do something for them.
Mm.
And she said, "I have seen the way that you are with Sophie, the way that you have dealt with her depression and everything around it, the research you've done, and I would like you to go and train and be a therapist because there is something about you that I think will help an awful lot of other people."
Wow.
And that's where it all started.
That must have been quite a moment as well.
It was. It was almost one of those kind of like ka-chung moments where I was sitting there and suddenly everything about me and my life fell into place and I realised that I've actually been doing this all of my life, but it was something that I really should be doing professionally and doing it properly and for real, as it were. Yeah.
And depression is such a difficult thing for many people to deal with, isn't it?
It isn't.
You know, quite a few shows ago now, we spoke about language and how we use language when we talk about mental health issues.
Mm.
And, you know, being a bit sad is not the same as being depressed.
No.
And people use very glib language. They will say, "Oh, I feel a bit depressed today." Mm. And actually, it's incredibly... I can't think of the word, but for people that suffer with depression and struggle with it on a day-to-day basis, for someone to glibly go, "Oh, I feel a bit depressed today," is actually quite insulting because it's a very serious condition.
Mm.
Mm. So how is Sophie now?
Absolutely fantastic. We've come out of the other end. She is a glorious, beautiful, lively, bubbly, happy, well-adjusted 16-year-old girl who's enjoying life to the full. It also led me to understand that depression, sometimes we understand it as being a chemical imbalance, but usually there is something that causes it. With my daughter, it was bullying. And once we'd realised and started working on the actual cause of the depression, instead of just working with the symptoms, it was much, much easier to deal with. And as a therapist, I'm very passionate about using the gentle therapies that I have to actually resolve the causes, as opposed to just putting a sticking plaster over things and saying, there, now, go away, that'll be better.
Absolutely. And there are, you know, there are some pharmaceutical solutions that are absolutely essential. I'd argue, in my personal opinion, that lots of pharmaceutical solutions do exactly that. They deal with the symptom, they don't deal with the cause, and all they do is they paper the paper over the cracks.
Yes, they do.
And you never really deal with, it makes it very hard to deal with the condition if all you're doing is putting plasters on it and not dealing with the root cause.
Absolutely. And we're going to see a GP. Your GP has 10 minutes time to spend with you.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. How can they possibly be able to identify the cause of what's going on with you? When a client comes to see me, I offer a free consultation. We spend some time actually sitting down. I start off with doing some NLP coaching to find out, really, really get to the root of the cause.
Yeah.
And then if they would like to continue with me as a client, then we go and we actually deal with the cause of the problem and knock it on the head. And I have clients that when they leave me go on to lead much happier, much more productive lives. And it is just the transformation in people. I feel truly privileged to be able to practice NLP and hypnotherapy because it takes action and it genuinely gets real results for people.
And it changes lives.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it doesn't just change the life of that individual, it changes the life of people around them as well.
Yep, like dropping a pebble into a pond, the ripple of anything that we do, all of our actions have that effect. And so everything about us has an effect on the people around us. And if you go from being a very deeply unhappy person to suddenly being this great, alive, lovely, wonderful, the person person that you should be, the knock-on effect it has on the people around you is incredible. Really is incredible.
I call it the process of osmosis.
Yes.
So it's great that you're able to help Sophie, and obviously you've got that first-hand experience as well. So let's talk a little bit more about what you do now. So let's talk about NLP. Obviously, you mentioned that you're an NLP master and hypnotherapist. How do those areas help individuals? Who are you helping, and how are you helping them?
With most of the techniques that I use, I don't have a specific target market. My mm-hmm. clients range in age from 16 to 86, men, women. If you're in pain, emotional pain, then I've got the tools to be able to fix it. NLP and hypnosis both work with talking and communicating with your unconscious. And if you think of your conscious and unconscious mind, the conscious, the tip is the tip of the iceberg. Your unconscious is the base of it. And once you've learned how to communicate with your unconscious, and we can actually you actually do all the work yourself, go in and talk with your unconscious and actually change things at source, that's how NLP and hypnosis work.
Read a really interesting book, I'm sure you've heard of it, called The Chimp Paradox. By a guy called Dr. Steve Peters. And in very simplistic terms, he talks about how the brain works in relation to NLP. And for someone who is not an NLP expert, as myself, I'm not an expert in NLP. I understand bits of it. I found the chimp paradox excellent to just describe different parts of the brain and how they interact with each other. But I think your illustration of the iceberg, is it 90? I think 90% of an iceberg is underwater.
Yes, absolutely.
The bit you see at the top is just a small bit.
Your unconscious is that 90%, and we treat it a little bit like a very naughty child, because when it's behaving, it understands that its prime directive is to look after you and take care of you. But every now and then it gets a little bit carried away, or it forgets things, and it just needs to be brought back into line again. And that's what we do with these NLP techniques and with hypnosis.
And NLP and hypnosis can be incredibly powerful, particularly for those that suffer with anxiety and stress, and also fears and phobias. So can you perhaps explain how NLP could help someone that's suffering and struggling with those conditions?
With anxiety and stress, particularly hypnosis is very, very effective for that. Hypnosis isn't what you see on stage and people going off
looking into my eyes and
all that kind of stuff. I know I'm still looking for a watch on chain, actually. But, so if anybody out there has got one that they'd like to
every time I think of that, I think of Little Britain.
Yes.
Kenny Craig, that character, look into my eyes. Absolutely.
No, please don't look into my eyes. Please close your eyes. And hypnosis is really very, very deep relaxation, and you as an individual go into your unconscious and find the tools that you need for you to be able to overcome anxiety. There are other techniques with NLP that we can use, called timeline, where we actually go back to the point in time where a first event that created the anxiety that you're living with occurred, and we go and with your unconscious talk to you as a child, and then come back to the adult and remove that whole feeling. It genuinely does disappear. It genuinely goes. How it works, I'm not a technical master. I have no idea. But when I work with people, it's like watching people going through a sci-fi portal. And I see the difference in people's faces, in their physiology, in their whole demeanor and everything about them. And it can happen literally within a split second. The minute that moment that change takes place, with the unconscious almost going, oh yeah, I get it now. It is like a sci-fi movie, and watching people go into a completely different space. And I feel truly, truly privileged to be able to do this. And I feel, as you probably heard, I feel very, very passionate about it indeed.
So am I right in thinking that lots of people that are struggling with maybe fears or phobias or this anxiety and stress, they don't realise that the the cause and, you know, the thing that's causing these issues today may have been an event that happened 10, 20, 30, 40, perhaps 50 years ago.
Quite often those events will date back to the year from up to the age of seven.
No,
and
really?
Even if people aren't aware of the event that caused that anxiety, the first event of that anxiety or that emotion or that phobia or fear, the unconscious knows. And it's quite interesting. I can go back with somebody through their timeline and they go, oh, yes, it was at this time and it was this event. And then we go back there and we try and work with it and nothing happens. We go, okay. So if you were to imagine when that was, and all of a sudden all of this information starts filtering through from the unconscious, and they go, oh no, oh my God, now I was three, and all of this stuff starts coming out, and we deal with it at that point in time and resolve it. We deal with it and we resolve it. We don't put a sticking plaster over it. And we come back and that person is... Well, I'm not going to say cured because that's the wrong thing to say, but it's resolved.
Resolved is a great word.
It's overcome. It's overcome, and the results are astonishing.
So it could be that a 40-year-old was bullied at six,
yes,
and those memories have been long since locked away and parked away, but that's still having an impact on their life today.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes.
It's quite amazing how the human brain works in some respects, isn't it? And it is quite interesting how we carry those things around us in our subconscious, but we don't realise how much they do affect us today.
Absolutely, which is why I said we treat the unconscious sometimes as if it can be very badly behaved. It really can be naughty. And sometimes you just have to have a word with it. You know that saying, have a word with yourself. So it really is true. You need to have a word with yourself because it really does work.
So it can be your best friend or your worst enemy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I hear that you're looking to get into small businesses and help employees of companies.
Yes. That's my aim at the moment, is to do that. I've just started working with a company called Forest, who are a salon software company. They provide a booking system, which is not just a booking system for appointments. It's an entire business tool, sorting out appointment reminders, asking people for reviews, being able to monitor and log your business and forecast your business, as well as going back over your business in the past. Incredible tool. We've been using it in CL2 now for about 5 years, and they've just set up a mentor hub, a coaching and mentor hub, because I do coaching and mentoring as well, and it's within an industry obviously that I know. So this is something that I'm starting to do. They've got 11 mentors plus me is 12 and it's open to other salon owners, beauty and hairdressing salon owners, who would like to have some mentoring and coaching.
Okay.
Whatever software they're using. So that's something that I'm just launching into at the moment. I'd also like to go and work with small to medium-sized businesses, with owners and managers who realise that actually the best way to run a good business is to have good mental health, positive mental health within the workforce. And by helping your staff to overcome issues, to overcome stress, to overcome anxiety, to have better relationships with each other, there's a wonderful NLP technique that we use, where if one person has a problem with their relationship with another person, be it, dare I say, husband, wife, partner, siblings, parents, children, but also boss to employee, employee to employee, there's a technique of being able to resolve relationship issues without the other person even knowing that you're doing it, which is what's so clever about it, because I can work with somebody and they can resolve an issue that they have with another individual without that other person ever knowing anything about it.
Wow. Powerful.
Very powerful stuff. Very powerful stuff. And I mean, the frightening statistic, I believe 11 million working days were lost in the UK in 2018, purely from people phoning in saying that they were suffering from stress. That's nothing. That's not flu or, you know, I've broken my thumb or no other. I've got the measles or chicken pox or anything else. This is purely and simply people actually saying, I am too stressed to come to work today. Yeah. 11 million working days. Mm. That is a frightening statistic. And I'm quite sure that there are a lot of business owners out there who take the duty of care to their employees very seriously. Yeah. And for somebody like me and another therapist to be able to go in and work with them to create a positive mental health environment, a very positive mental health environment within their business, that benefits everybody. And at the end of the day, it's going to benefit them because a happy workforce equals a happy environment, equals better profits, and that also gives you more money to invest in the business, and everybody wins. It really is a win-win situation.
Absolutely. Mm. It really is an investment and not a cost.
It is. Absolutely, yeah, it's definitely an investment.
So it sounds like you've got some really exciting plans for the coming year, which is great to see. In addition to looking for work with businesses, let's talk a little bit more about the private clients. So you mentioned that the age range is 16 to 86. So what particular people, individual private clients, would you be looking for? What issues would these individuals have that they would come and approach you for help?
For anxiety and for stress, fears and phobias, anything from fear of spiders, fear of birds, phobias about flying, all mm-hmm. kinds of different things. If there's anything that you can think of that when you think about it, you wince or you go, or you feel repelled or it worries you, you're concerned about it, then that's something that I can genuinely help you with. There is another technique which I've been starting to use more recently with NLP, which is something we call NSTEP, and that's an actual physical health thing where we can talk to the unconscious to help you to overcome various ailments. On a personal level, I have experienced this because I used to have varicose veins. I still do have varicose veins, sadly. However, I've used this technique on my varicose veins, and they are no longer painful. They are no longer itchy, and they no longer trouble me at all, where it's something I used to be in pain with on a daily basis. Yeah. And there are a lot of physical ailments that you can have, which there's no logical reason for it to be there anymore. Yeah. We talk about old war wounds. Somebody saying, "Oh yeah, it's why I sprained my wrist," and it's just playing up. It probably isn't playing up at all. Maybe you've jarred it slightly or just banged it on something, and your unconscious is going, "Oh, that's hurt. I know that's hurt. I'm going to make it hurt," because we haven't switched the unconscious off and told it that it's fixed.
Fascinating.
So there's no physical reason for you to be in pain from it. It's all in the mind.
It's amazing how the brain. All in the mind. It's amazing how the brain works, isn't it?
I know.
So, if listeners, individuals, or companies would like to have a chat with you, what's the best route to contact you, Susie?
Okay, I do like people to contact me, unusually by phone, because I'm a great believer in communication. I started my life in communication, and I'm a great communicator. Mm-hmm. And the best thing to do is pick up the phone and call me on 01622 842-248. Mm-hmm. You can also send me a message on my mobile, which is 07814-083199. Probably not such a good idea to call that because I'm still not quite good. Mobile phones and talking on mobile phones, it's not the best way, I don't think, with it all fading in and blipping in, and I really can't be doing with that. And there's my website, which is susiekbrooks.co.uk, and that's S-U-S-I-E and K Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, no E, .co.uk.
Super. Thank you so much, Susie. Thank you for coming on the show this morning. It's been really interesting to find out more about, not just about what you do, but also your journey into how you got to doing what you do now. It's been really great to have you on the show. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Brilliant. Thank you, Susie. After the break, we are going to talk a little bit more about stress and anxiety. But to take us there, we have a great song by Bryan Adams.
Got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime. Played it till my fingers bled. Was the summer of 69. Me and some guys from school had a band and we tried real hard. Jimmy quit, Jody got married. Should've known we'd never get far.
Brian Adams and the Summer of 69. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 18th of March, 2019. If you'd like to get in touch with the show via the show's Twitter feed, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show. You can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the show's iTunes podcast. Search the Health Matters Radio Show. And you can also listen again to all the previous shows and this show on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So before we go on and discuss very briefly the topic of anxiety and stress, Susie would like to read, is it a poem you've got there, Susie?
No, it's just a little passage from, okay. From The Diary of a Goddess.
Okay, over to you.
Don't ever dim your light to match the darkness that surrounds you. Distance yourself from those who feel you are too much. Don't suppress the magic you have bubbling beneath the surface to please those who undervalue you. The right souls who appreciate your energy will enter your life and make you forget about those who took you for granted. Until then, glow as brightly as you can. Blind those who made you feel less special with your light. You deserve all the love you so willingly give to others.
Wow. Powerful. Thank you very much. Really, really powerful. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
Okay, so going on to talk about stress and anxiety. We haven't got a great deal of time left in the show today, so we'll probably carry this topic forward until on to next show on the 25th of March. Because stress and anxiety, as we mentioned when we were talking with Susie, it's very common today. I'm sure that there's a lot more people that suffer with stress and anxiety in today's society than don't. But it's drawing a distinction between stress and anxiety. So stress isn't always bad. Stress can be a motivator in small doses and if kept under control. Stress can be a great motivator. It can help us to perform our best, and it also can help us to perform under pressure. The problem is if we are living in this perpetual state of emergency, this perpetual state of stress, then it can have a huge impact to the systems of your body. And also, as we've mentioned, it can have a massive impact on your mental well-being as well. And that can make you to start to feel out of balance. And the thing is stress is cumulative. So when you get the early signs of stress, these can be things like headaches, irritability, you can have nervous stomach, you can have disruptive sleep patterns, but it's really recognizing these early warning signs because these are the signs that your body is perhaps telling you to slow down a bit or to find ways to manage the stress effectively. I think to suggest that we never will experience stress at all would be unrealistic, but finding ways to naturally de-stress or finding help to help us to de-stress is very important. And if you don't heed the warning signs that your body is sending out, then this stress, this anxiety can actually build and build and build. And it can cause a lot of disruption to your body in terms of emotional well-being, physical well-being, social well-being as well, relationships, and also your mental health as well. But stress is different to anxiety. So stress is the normal physical response when we're faced with a challenge. And as I mentioned, perpetual stress, continual stress is not good for you. But in small doses, if kept under control, it can be a good friend, but it can become a bad enemy if you haven't got it under control. However, anxiety is a completely different condition. So anxiety is more similar to constant fear. And anxiety sometimes comes on for no identifiable reason. And for some people, this worry and anxiety can become so overwhelming that it actually disrupts their quality of life. And excessive and lasting bouts of worry and anxiety might reflect an anxiety disorder, which, if identified, might actually require specific treatment. But what we'll do is we are getting a little bit shorter time. So on next week's show, we will talk about the effects of stress in more detail. So the effects of stress on your body, on your emotions, on your behaviours, on your mental well-being. We'll also talk about ways that we can perhaps manage stress ourselves. So we'll talk about getting more sleep and exercise and diet and those sorts of things as well. But we'll cover those on next week's show. So tune in on the 25th of March, and we will talk about stress and we'll talk about other health related topics as well. And actually on the next show, we have another guest. We have Janet Blake, who's going to be coming on the show and talking more about what she does. So this leads me to thank Susie again for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure.
And would you just like to remind the listeners of your contact details again, your website address and phone number?
Yes, the phone number is 01622 842 248. Mm-hmm. And the website is susiekbrooks.co.uk.
Super. And I'll put Susie's contact details up on the show's Facebook page when I do some post-show promotion. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just a quick reminder of my website address, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. If you'd like to get in contact with me, you can do that, or you can use the website, send me an email, or contact me via social media. And a quick reminder that you can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, and also on iTunes podcast as well. If you've got any questions about your health, or you'd like to talk more about the subjects that we've covered today, then please feel free to contact me via my website. And if you've got any general health questions you'd like me to cover on future shows, or topics you think will be useful for me to talk about, then please do give me a shout. After the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. But until next week, until the 25th of March, have a great week ahead. Stay happy, stay healthy, and I will catch you in 7 days' time.
The heart is a blue. Turn for grace, so beautiful.